Good morning. I'd like to welcome all of our visitors. We have a few. We're very glad that you are worshiping with us today. Have a couple of prayer requests, but before we get into that, I want to wish all the fathers out there Happy Father's Day. We definitely appreciate the things that you do, the responsibilities that you carry each and every day. Some of the ladies have provided some snacks and some little goodies out there for us. So after worship, feel free to get some of those. But Happy Father's Day, and I hope you realize just how special you are and the responsibility you carry each and every day. Some of the prayers that we have. Marilyn is going to be traveling to Colorado this week to visit her brother, sister-in-law, and niece, and she would appreciate prayers while she's traveling. And also her cousin Jim is going to be having another scope this Wednesday to see if the cancer is still gone and in remission. So we'll remember Marilyn's family in just a moment. Also, excuse me, Sam informs us that Cena is home sick, not feeling well, so we will remember Cena in our prayers. Mark Eubank is requesting prayers for his sister-in-law, Jerry Eubank, who's fighting cancer at this time. And so we'll remember her. And I'm just going to read what Garfield has written. He says, "Brothers and sisters of the church, today I come asking for continued prayers for my family. I am so thankful that God has remained merciful and gracious as we transition into our next chapters of life. May He cover my daughters always, keeping them close and mindful of the value of His presence in their lives. Thank you all for your prayers and support and Christian love, Brother Garfield." We will address these right now. If you would, let's bow together as brothers and sisters and go to our God in prayer. You are the cutest little thing. Just smiling. One's paying attention today. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to You. We're so thankful that we have the avenue of prayer, that we can boldly approach Your throne, boldly but yet humbly and respectfully. Approach Your throne with our request to You. Dear God, we ask that You be with Garfield and his whole family as they're facing some unique trials and obstacles in their life. We ask that You be with them, strengthen them, let them know and be surrounded by brotherly love, and always know that You are close to them. Dear God, we also ask that You be with Marilyn as she's going to be traveling again this week to visit family. We ask that she is safe and that the trip will be successful. We also pray for her cousin Jim as he's going to be having another scope to see if the cancer is still gone. Our desire, God, is that he is cancer-free and that You be with the doctors and medical staff that care for him. Dear God, we also pray that You're with Cena while she's home, not feeling well. We're hoping that she's able to join us online and be part of us there. Dear God, we ask that You strengthen her and bring her back to us soon. Dear God, we also ask that You be with Mark's sister-in-law, Jerry Eubank, as she's fighting cancer. We ask that You be with her family to strengthen her, encourage her, and help Mark be a good influence on her spiritually. Dear God, we are thankful for the fathers, the responsibility that they carry, the duties that they fulfill each and every day, day in and day out. We hope that everything the fathers here do is able to bring their families closer to you. We pray everything through your son Jesus. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be looking today. Our lesson is taken from Romans, the 12th chapter. It's not taken from Romans 12. We're going to be looking at Romans 12. That is the lesson. On a little side note, there are more than one way to skin a cat. And the number one thing is, I encourage all of us to study our Bibles daily, to read our Bibles daily. If you picked up an outline out in the foyer, this is just a sample of how you could look at a passage, look at a chapter, or whatever. As you study it, each most of them are broken down into verses on the outline. There are some that are kind of combined together that are just paraphrased in my own words of what that verse says. That is a way for you to study. As you study a book in the Bible, have you a notebook? As you study, simply, you know, rephrase what the scriptures are saying to you. Put it in your words, and then you've got a nice little notebook with you've studied that you can go back and add to it periodically. As you learn more, you can go back and use it as a study guide. But this is just a way to study. There's no one set way to study. But Paul wrote this to the Romans, and it is so applicable for us today. He's addressing in this chapter issues of Christian service, issues of Christian unity, issues of our, not only our conduct, but more importantly, our attitudes. Because I tell you, our conduct without the proper attitude kind of falls on deaf ears, and it really does us no good. But anyway, let's look at just this one chapter that Paul writes to the Romans. In verse 1, he starts off and he says, "I beseech you." That's some strong words. It's not like, "Here's an idea, Romans. Here's a suggestion." He says, "I beseech you. I beg you. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." The priests had an awesome responsibility that they would offer the sacrifices on behalf of the Jews. They would offer the sacrifices on behalf of others. Paul is telling Christians, you present the sacrifice and it be yourself. You make yourselves a living sacrifice. And it says, which is holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Paul is saying, I'm not asking you to do anything above and beyond anything you're not capable of. It is your reasonable service to do this as a Christian. In verse 2, he goes on to say, and don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed changed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Paul's telling us, don't be conformed to the things that are around us. We cannot help in this short life of ours. We can't help but live here. We got to be here, surrounded by worldly things. But he's saying, don't be conformed to the things of this world, the pressures, the teachings, what is the acceptable things in the world. Don't be conformed to that. Don't mold to that. But instead, you be transformed. You change yourself. I think of those cartoons, you know, the kids probably know what I'm talking about, the Transformers, where they transform from one thing into another. That's what Paul is telling us to do. Transform ourselves from the old self to the new self. And that's how we present ourselves a living sacrifice. By being that changed person, not conformed to this world. In verse 3, he says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you." And this next part of this verse, if we could do this as a Christian, it would help us tremendously to be Christians. When he says, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. That idea, not to think of himself more highly. Paul's not saying don't have good self-esteem. Have good self-esteem. But don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. The world's full of that other example. The world is full of the me, 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 me. And Paul had just told us, don't be conformed to the world, but transform yourself. And he says, one of the ways to do that is don't think more highly of yourself than you should. He's not saying don't think of yourself. You got to care for yourself. But keep things in perspective. Verse 4, he says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." Paul devotes a couple of chapters of saying the same thing to the Corinthians. You know, the Romans aren't the only ones that needed to hear this. The Romans and the Corinthians, we need to hear this too. That we have many members in one body. Our individual bodies have many parts. They all work together. We have many members of a congregation. Some have certain talents, some have certain abilities, and it all works together. And then we as the church as a whole, there's many different abilities, but we're one body. And he goes on to say, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." Paul has said we all have different gifts. That's great. Use them. And then he goes into some of the examples. It says, if prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And just like exercise, the more we use them, the better we get at it. And the more we develop. But the key, we all have different abilities. The key is not who's got what, are we using them or not? And Paul says, let us use them. Verse 9 says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Whole mouthful is said just in that one verse. Let love be without hypocrisy. Paul will devote a whole chapter in 1 Corinthians 13 to that very concept. When we do things, make sure it's not hypocritical. When we do a good deed, Jesus stressed that a lot. Make sure that your motives for things. People do a lot of good deeds all the time. Even ungodly people do good deeds. But it may be for public image. We're in election season right now. You're going to see lots of people doing things for an image. People may donate something for the tax break. Paul says, let love be without hypocrisy. And then he says, abhor. That's some strong words. Hate what is evil. Abhor what is evil, but yet cling to what is good. You latch on. You find the good things, and what is good we find in God's word. God tells us what is good. We don't have to recreate the list. We don't have to recreate. And remember, verse 2, we were told, don't conform to the world. The world has a whole different thing of what's good and bad. We transform our minds. And we find out what's good and bad through God's word. And when we find that good, we cling to it. We hold on with both fists and we don't let go. Cling to it. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. This kind of goes along with that idea of don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. Give others preference. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Not a one and done, not a, oh, by the way, I got 2 seconds, I'll throw a prayer in. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. I'll tell you, we've seen what prayer does. I do not know if I can think of a better example in my Christian life of Christians coming together and praying. I'm not talking about outcome. I'm talking being fervent and steadfast in prayer. This last month with Kent Cheshire. Christians have prayed with him and Lagaya. Christians have prayed individually. Christians have prayed in pairs. Sam organized us to come together in the building. We sang songs of praise and offered prayers to God. One evening, as brothers and sisters, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Here's one right out of left field. Bless those who persecute you. Paul, you had to go and ruin it. You were on a roll. I was doing pretty good. Bless those who persecute you. I need some more transformation. I'm not fully transformed yet. Bless and do not curse. I don't think I'm telling you any, it's not news. This is olds. It's tough when you're being persecuted. It's tough when you're slighted. It's tough when people maliciously do something against you, to you. The worldly us, get them back. But we're not supposed to conform to this world. Paul established early on, be transformed. Have a different mindset. Renew that mind. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. And weep with those who weep. It's not about us. Sometimes that other person that is rejoicing, let them have their day. Be happy for them. Don't come up with an anecdote that brings it back around about you. Oh, this reminds me when I... Sometimes we have an eye. Sometimes we need to go see an eye doctor because we have an eye problem. It's I. Paul's already told us to give preference to one another. When people are rejoicing, rejoice with them. Let them rejoice. Don't pull that rug out from under them and make it about you. And the same with weep with those who weep. Sometimes there's no words to say. Sometimes just being there for somebody. A hand on the shoulder. Sometimes sharing a tear. Sometimes just being there with somebody is all that's needed. Sometimes there is nothing to say. When somebody is going through something that's causing them tears, there may not be anything to say. The loss of a loved one, bad health news, whatever. Sometimes just an arm around them speaks volumes. Be of the same mind toward one another. Doesn't say have all the same likes and dislikes. Doesn't say like all the same TV shows. Read the same kind of books. Do the same activities. It's not that. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. I tell you, Paul keeps going back to not thinking more highly of yourself than you ought. Through this in again, he must have felt he needs to address this again. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Paul will explain this. He will explain this. Take him at his word. If it is possible, sometimes it's not. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. There are some people you just can't get along with. Some people just don't want to get along. They're a porcupine. They're a badger. Badgers don't get along with anybody. They're just foul-tempered creatures, ready to fight you at the drop of a hat. But Paul says, if it is possible, if it's up to you, live peaceably with all men. It may not be up to you. But if it is, don't you be the problem. Don't you be the badger. Now he explains this idea of the bless those that persecute you. Bless, not curse. He says, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. We're not in the business of vengeance. One, if we're starting to focus on taking vengeance on ourselves, we're being distracted from serving God. Plus, God can do it better. God can do it and be effective. God can do it righteously. When we take revenge, it's not righteous. We're being distracted, and it's not what God wants. God can get it done better. In closing out this chapter, he reminds us, do not be overcome by evil. No matter what the situation is, the situation, we might be smack dab in the middle of a whirlwind of bad worldly things. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's that going back to the verse Dick read this morning, verse 2. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. This was a way that I studied Romans 12. Just me. I'm sure we've got, I think I count 71. There's probably 71 different ways to have studied. You know, I like writing down what I get out of each verse. And then you have a little reference to go back to. The key is study God's Word every day. If it's just reading a verse, chances are you won't just read a verse. But take the outline with you. Add to it this week. Reread it yourself. Add a few things. Anyway, this has not been a lesson leading somebody to hear the Word of God and leads them to baptism, to being added to the church. But on a side note, if you haven't been baptized, we can accommodate you. And the Lord will add you to His church. You don't join the church. You're added by the Lord. If you need prayers of the congregation, if there's sin in your life that you need help with prayers, if you need to repent of sin, if there's anything we can do for you, please come forward while Kurt leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand and sing the song together.